got drunk and dad got drunk at a Christmas party. We were drinking champagne punch and homemade eggnog. Little sister brought her new boyfriend. He was a Mexican. We didn't know what to think of him. Tell us
time. Merry Christmas Police from the family. Some classic Robert Earl Keane kicking things off for us on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show this morning. I'm Cable Smith, thanking each and every one of you for tuning in, and also wishing you and yours a happy holiday season. Hope you've set aside some time to get into the great outdoors with those most important to you. I know I have. My sweet wife Erin actually accompanied my brother Jansen and I on a duck hunt last week. Of course, I think she really went just to watch Maverick and Belle do what they love. But I was impressed that she came, seeing that she is 8 months pregnant. What a trooper. But spending time in the outdoors with family is one of my favorite things about this time of the year. Anyway, we've got a great show lined up for you. It's going to be a little different in that we tackle something we've never really discussed before when we get into some wilderness survival skills. Outdoor Life magazine survival expert Tim McWelch stops by to visit with us about his latest article, 14 Ways a Beer Can Could Save Your Life. So pretty cool and informative stuff coming up with Tim momentarily. And we'll actually dedicate two segments to survival skills this morning. Then we'll get into one of the most exciting and increasingly popular types of hunting out there, predator calling, and specifically the art of calling coyotes into killing range is something our buddy Seth Skinner is no stranger to. Seth is the 2008 world champion distress caller, and the Waco native will be here to talk anything and everything coyotes with us today. And seeing as how I am obsessed with trying to put coyotes on the ground these days, I am thrilled to have Seth joining us. So it's going to be a great show, no doubt about it. A couple things off the Lone Star Outdoors Show news desk here. We'll have an exclusive interview with AJ Downs, the East Texas hunter who harvested the 20-point San Jacinto County monster on opening day of bow season this year. His buck will probably be a new Texas record for archery, non-typical, and AJ is awaiting the official Pope and Young and Boone and Crockett scores to come back before we do the interview. But I spoke to him this week, and he expects those scores to be back within the next 10 days or so. So I can't wait to hear about that buck and AJ's amazing hunt, and we'll have that exclusive interview sometime in the next week or two. Also, there's not much time left for our December Photo of the Month contest. If you want to get your submission in, this month's winner gets the Sport Basic e-collar from Tritronics. This is the best training tool out there as far as bird dogs are concerned. So email your favorite outdoor photo to cable@lonestaroutdoorshow.com for your chance to win. And don't forget, our 12 monthly winners from 2012 will square off for the right to be our 2012 Photo of the Year winner. This year's winner will accompany me to Coons Canyon Ranch this spring for a guided turkey hunt and an exotic axis or black buck trophy hunt. I actually shot a black buck at Coons Canyon this last spring, so it's a great place, a heck of a grand prize. Just email me your photo to cable@lonestaroutdoorshow.com. Let's do a quick giveaway. This one's for all the bow hunters out there, as I've got a Slick Trick camo cap here. Also, we'll throw in a Lone Star Outdoor Show Hey Vegetarians, My Food Poops on Your Food t-shirt. Third person to text in the words Slick Trick, that's Slick Trick, to 214-289-7807. 214-289-7807. Third person to text in Slick Trick will win the cap and the t-shirt. Let's knock out a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll visit with Outdoor Life magazine's Tim McWelch on his article, The 14 Ways a Beer Can Could Save Your Life. That's coming up only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show.
And I knew there was something strange about this ride. He said, Drifter, can you make folks cry when you play and sing?
Hey y'all, Cable Smith here for Tioga Retrievers. As bird hunters, we expect the most out of our gun dogs. And that's why I sent my sweet girl Belle to Angie and Tim Becker at Tioga Retrievers. Not only were her manners and obedience spot on in the blind and in the field, but Belle picked up over 200 birds in her first season. So whether you want a well-rounded hunting dog or just a well-mannered companion for the home, Tioga Retrievers has you covered. Located in Aubrey, Texas, visit TiogaRetrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A Retrievers.com.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is DFW's number one source for trailers. In addition to utility trailers, we have the largest selection of cargos anywhere. CM Cargos, Wells Cargos, Hallmark, Cargo Craft, and Pace. You want it, we got it. Come and get it. Call 972-501-0200 or go to BigTexDFW.com. That's Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn.
Did you know there's a bank that will pay you to be its customer? That's right. Lone Star Ag Credit is a cooperative, and since it's owned by its stockholders, pays millions in dividends each year. That's free money to every borrower. Lone Star Ag Credit serves people all over Northeast Texas, assuring you competitive interest rates on real estate loans, rural home loans, livestock and farm and ranch loans. Contact Lone Star Ag Credit today at 800-530-1252 or on the web at LoneStarAgCredit.com. Equal housing lender.
Alaska's all-inclusive Kodiak Sportsman's Lodge is the place to go for the fishing trip of a lifetime. You'll enjoy Alaska's highest bag limits for king salmon, black sea bass, yellow-eye, lingcod, silver salmon, and halibut. Only 7 boats operate out of Old Harbor, and Kodiak owns 4 of them, so fishing pressure is never an issue. Drop lines within 20 minutes of the lodge in waters that are weather-protected in the Sitka-Lytic Strait. Call 866-744-8777 or visit KodiakSportsmansLodge.com to book your fishing trip on Kodiak Island, one of the last great American frontiers.
Coons Canyon Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas specializes in exotics such as axis deer and black buck. Coons Canyon offers quality animals at a price the working man can afford. Right now, save 10% on any package of multiple animals. Military personnel, police, and firefighters also get 10% off. Lodging is available upon request, as are other exotic species. Visit CoonsCanyonRanch.com for your next exotic trophy hunt. That's CoonsCanyonRanch.com.
Holmes Williams with Texas Insurance and Financial Services is a passionate outdoorsman, and that's why he understands the importance of limiting your risk, sheltering your game, and protecting your assets. So whether you want to protect your hunting ranch, sporting club, or are a guide or outfitter, Texas Insurance and Financial Services has you covered. Property, general liability, workers' comp, auto, even foreign recovery and emergency medical for that African safari. Call Holmes Williams with Texas Insurance and Financial Services at 512-797-7600 or email him at holmes@txins.com.
I'm Carter Smith, and I'm the executive director with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Get me right, make me strong, let it out, it's been too long. I don't want to be with this misery, make it gone.
That's brand new stuff there from The Departed, bringing us back on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. Presented by Hoff Power Polaris and Chevy Silverado. Prayer for the Lonely is the name of that one. I'm Cable Smith, by the way, thanking each and every one of you for tuning in as we're about to talk some survival skills here. But first, this segment proudly brought to you by Rudy's Barbecue. Stop in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner at one of their convenient locations, including the newest Rudy's in front of the Cabela's in Allen. Rudy's, true Texas-style barbecue. Moving right along here. If you're like me, then you might enjoy an ice-cold brew every now and again. Maybe after one of those 100-degree September dove hunts. Or heck, maybe you've picked up one of the Lone Star Beer Game Guard Camo Can 12-packs and taken that to the lease this season. Maybe you don't even drink beer. Maybe your thing is an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. But whatever the case, you might not realize how that beer can might actually help save your life in a survival situation. Our next guest is the survival expert for Outdoor Life magazine, and Tim McWelch joins us now to talk about his recent feature, 14 Ways a Beer Can Could Save Your Life. Tim, thanks for dropping by.
Hey, my pleasure, Cable. Thank you for having me.
You bet, buddy. And Tim, before we get into this article, talk a little bit about how one actually becomes a, quote, survival expert.
Well, you know, that's a great question. There's a lot of different paths up that one mountain. Some people get to that spot by being an Eagle Scout and then taking their skills even further. Some people are in the military and go through survival training through different, you know, aspects of the armed forces, maybe even teaching it for different branches of the service. But I just kind of did it my own way. I got into wilderness survival as an offshoot of being outdoors and hunting and fishing and camping and backpacking as a teenager. And I started doing my own research, and I enjoyed it so much, I started working with kids. And so I spent quite a few years volunteering for Boy Scouts and different groups, and had such a good time teaching that I kind of found my calling. So I started teaching wilderness survival as a business in 1997, and I've been working on that ever since. And then in 2010, the folks at Outdoor Life magazine were looking for somebody to write a survival article, and one thing led to another, and I've been writing for them ever since.
Very cool. Well, hey, I was flipping through the most recent issue of Outdoor Life magazine, as I do every month, and stumbled across your piece, 14 Ways a Beer Can Could Save Your Life, in the November issue. Talk a little bit about the background behind this feature.
You know, this was a fun one. The world of survival can be kind of somber and kind of serious. And my editors and I wanted to take a different approach to this gallery and make it something kind of light and something kind of fun, and yet something that everybody can, you know, something everybody can identify with, which is having a tall, cold, frosty one. So, you know, what could you do with that can, either while it still has the beer in it or once that precious golden nectar is gone? So that was kind of our fun concept for that month, was to figure out all the different stuff that you could do with a can. And as I said in the piece, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've been out doing survival training on my own, and there are times when I would have given my kingdom for some kind of metal container to boil water in so I don't have to heat up hot rocks in the campfire and drop them in a ditch and boil muddy water to try to kill all the bugs that might be hanging out in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just a simple metal container.
Right.
You know, right. Separates us from the caveman, I guess.
Right. And that's the first tip. I mean, the most important thing that you're going to do in a survival situation is make sure that you stay hydrated. And ideally, you'd like to be drinking pathogen-free water if at all possible.
Yeah, so staying hydrated is just so critical, and it's often overlooked, both in wilderness survival and in, you know, disaster preparedness and urban survival scenarios. If you don't have enough to drink, you're going to very quickly become debilitated. Your thoughts and mental faculties will slow. Your strength and motor skills will fade. Your blood is going to get thicker, and you're just going to have a whole host of medical problems that start to arise from becoming dehydrated. And then, God forbid, you should end up getting some kind of infection from drinking some bad water, either bacteria, viruses, protozoa, or larger things like worms. These could create, you know, debilitating disease, and could be something that could hurt you in the short term, or something really subtle and sinister that could come back to haunt you years later.
Uh-huh. And, you know, I used to watch all of Les Stroud's Survival Man episodes. Loved that show. And he said the sickest he ever got in his travels was when he ate the turtle in the Georgia swamp that actually was carrying some kind of bacteria that gave him a flesh-eating disease in his mouth, where it just started attacking his gums and his lip. And the doctors had no idea what it was.
That's one of the little hidden dangers. That's part of the package that your survival travel agent is going to gloss over, is the fact that you're coming into contact with stuff that most people don't normally run into. And, you know, I kind of look at it almost as a matter of when you're going to get exposed to something dangerous as opposed to if.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of different little organisms out there, and if our health is impaired in some way, then it just makes it that much easier for these things to take hold.
Right.
So, you know, boiling water in a metal container, you want to boil it at least 10 minutes. That's going to kill every single wiggle tail that's going to be running around in that water. It's going to kill the bacteria, any kind of pathogenic worms, and Giardia, Cryptosporidium, all that stuff. So what I found over the years of just experimenting with this stuff out in the field is if you get your campfire rolling, scoop up some water out of the creek or the cleanest place that you can find water, and then set it in the ashes on the edge of the fire, then the heat will go through the metal container. The water will start to boil. You'll see the bubbles jumping out of the mouth of the beer can, and then you start your count for 10 minutes. If you've got a watch or some kind of way to tell time accurately, you know, you just wait your 10 minutes.
Right. So a beer can be used as a pot for all intents and purposes. Also, a couple of the other tips that you mentioned, it can be used as a fishing reel, and you can also fashion a pretty nasty fish hook out of it, and I'm going to let you talk about those.
Sure. The fishing reel is going to be a bit of a culture shock for a lot of our modern anglers. You know, we're really spoiled in this day and age with having some really nice equipment that we can purchase. But if we think about, you know, maybe something our ancestors might have fished with, or if we think about what we would use if we got caught without our normal resources, you can take the smooth exterior of the beer can, or any other can for that matter, you know, soda can, whatever you can find. And if you can get your fishing line wound around that in a spiral, so you want to start from one point on the can and spiral around it, moving from one end of the can to the other. Mm-hmm. You don't want to overlap the line, otherwise it's gonna snag when it comes off of that can. But you can actually create a reel, and it's not gonna be, you know, it's not gonna be very nice, and it's not gonna be what you're used to by any stretch of the imagination. But it does create a functional reel. So you can very carefully swing this thing overhead and cast the line off the can. I don't know if some of your listeners have tried something like this before. You might have heard of like the hobo fishing reel or things like that, where people are using some kind of a smooth cylinder as a spool to not only store their fishing line, but to also cast it as well.
And I have actually seen this firsthand on a mission trip to Brazil's Amazon rainforest. And I had given this guy a new pocket knife as part of the mission work, and he was so excited he wanted to take me fishing. So I get in his dugout canoe with him. He's got fishing line wrapped around a plastic water bottle, and I have a state-of-the-art rod and reel. He managed to reel in 3 peacock bass while I didn't catch a darn thing.
Yeah. Sometimes that hook and that line are the, you know, that's really the only thing you've got to have, that and some luck, you know, to be blessed with your food for the day. You know, sometimes some people just have the touch.
Oh yeah. There's no doubt that young man had a very high skill level with his homemade rod and reel. Moving along to the next beer can survival tip, and it still pertains to fishing, but talk about how you can actually get a pretty nice fish hook from your beer can.
Yeah. Now this fish hook is going to be different than what we would normally purchase. You know, your average steel fish hook is incredibly strong and needle sharp. But to create a fish hook out of a beer can, what you can do is break off the little pull tab. Mm-hmm. And if you have a Leatherman or some other kind of multi-tool, you can use the snippers on there to clip the pieces of that tab away so that you end up with your traditional J-shaped hook, shaped like the letter J. Now, the strength of this aluminum J-shaped piece is going to be really poor. It's not going to be what you're used to in a fish hook. So where we would normally set a hook really aggressive and very early, once we think we've got a fish on, you're going to do a different approach with an improvised fish hook. Now, this, I've got to warn the listeners, this is not a catch-and-release fishing method.
Right.
This is a survival method, but we are going to reserve some of the fishing line. We'll go ahead and cast our line out there. It's typically going to be baited with something irresistible, something natural, something that we're going to find while we're out there in this survival scenario. So we're going to cast the line out there and reserve some slack. Keep a little bit on that reel. Once the fish takes the bait and swims off a little ways. You just continue to feed the line to the fish. You don't try to set the hook. You are actually trying to encourage the fish to swallow the hook. And mm-hmm. that's how this thing is going to function. You know, I've taken people out cable, and they've caught their first fish in their entire lifetime with me using a thorn for a hook, tied onto a piece of handmade string made out of plant fiber, and using a little chunk of meat or fat or a nice big slug or a big fat grub or some other natural bait that we had access to. And the whole trick behind this survival fishing is to, you know, go ahead and let the fish swallow that improvised hook, mm-hmm. get it down his throat, get it down into his belly, and then that soft tissue is very easily pierced by even the most childish and ridiculous looking hook. So we're not trying to make, you know, some high-end angling equipment. We're just looking for something that's going to hang up on that animal's guts.
Right.
And then once they take that bait and swallow it, then you can very gently coax them in and you know, very carefully land them. Now, you're probably going to want to have a dip net, if at all possible. You could even take off your shirt and tie it to a forked stick and improvise a dip net real quick. That's how it works. So not pretty, not catch and release, but absolutely functional.
No doubt about it. And could help save your life in a survival situation. Tim, we do have to knock out a quick commercial break, but I'd love for you to stick around and share some more of your beer can survival tips with us.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right. Well, y'all don't go anywhere, because we'll be right back with more from Outdoor Life survival expert Tim McWelch, only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
Tell me you're trying to cure a 7-year ache. See what else your old heart can take. Boys say, when is he gonna give us some room? But girls say, God, I hope he comes back soon.
Concan's River Rim Resort is the gem of the real Texas Hill Country. Located along the pristine Frio River, outdoor enthusiasts enjoy bird watching, bat flights, and of course, tubing or kayaking to Frio's crystal clear waters. Situated near Garner State Park in northern Uvalde County, River Rim is in the middle of a sportsman's paradise with ranches full of exotics, whitetail, and dove hunting opportunities. River Rim Resort offers cabins and RV sites, as well as a great venue for weddings and corporate retreats. Visit RiverRimResort.com today. That's RiverRimResort.com. Do you have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The system is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or visit www.goinfencing.com. That's goinfencing.com.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spagnuolo from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnuolo. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
2011 Z521 Ranger boat with a 250 Pro XS Mercury motor. Falcon rods, lounge electronics, and Lake Fork trophy lures are just a few of the perks you'll enjoy when fishing with Lake Fork fishing guide Heath Hardwick. Customer service is Heath's primary goal. Well, that and putting you on the fish of a lifetime at the legendary Lake Fork, Heath has built his business on integrity. His passion is bass fishing, and he loves sharing a lifetime of knowledge with all of his customers. So call Heath Hardwick at 903-440-2358 or visit him at heathhardwick.com. That's Heath Hardwick.
The new Bobcat utility vehicle is here at Bobcat of Dallas and Fort Worth, and it's hungry. Get ready to work like an animal and love it. Powerful, ultra-comfortable, and sure-footed, this lineup of vehicles delivers legendary Bobcat performance, so you can sink your teeth into a wide range of jobs. With twice the horsepower, 1,850 pounds of payload capacity, and four-wheel independent suspension, you will love it. Stop in at Bobcat of Dallas and Fort Worth to see for yourself.
Newland Real Estate is North Texas' premier acreage property specialist. Their knowledgeable and experienced brokers take pride in working hard to help you buy or sell the perfect horse, cattle, or hunting ranch, investment properties, and rural residences. Even with the current economy, Newland Real Estate closed over $38 million in sales last year. So when you see the Circle Inn, you know it's the name you can trust. You can search all multiple listing services on their website at www.northtexasrealestate.com. That's northtexasrealestate.com. Newland Real Estate, your acreage property specialist.
Pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue. Wrap your presents to your darling from you.
Pretty pencils to write. There's a classic Willie Nelson tune bringing us back this holiday season. I'm Cable Smith. Thanks for tuning in to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris and Chevy Silverado. Remember, this Christmas, give the gift of the great outdoors with gifts they'll love from Cabela's. Hurry in during our Christmas sale for spectacular savings. Save 25% on Coleman Grand Canyon airbeds and save 50% on Cabela's Kids Adventure Tents or Combo Rectangle Sleeping Bags, or give Cabela's gift cards, the gift that always fits. Hurry into Cabela's in Fort Worth, Allen, or Buda. Cabela's, your Christmas gift outfitter. Well, let's go ahead and pick it back up with survival expert Tim McWelch of Outdoor Life magazine. If you're just joining us, Tim's most recent article focuses on something very near and dear to many of us. I'm talking about an ice-cold brew and specifically how that beer can could actually save your life. And Tim, I thought one of your most interesting beer can survival tips was how to use that beer can to get a fire going.
Yeah, this is the one that a lot of the listeners might have seen Les Stroud do on one of his Survivor Man TV programs. And this is the age-old soda can and chocolate bar fire starting method. Now, when you're using light from the sun to start a fire, you've got to concentrate that light somehow. And you've also got to focus that light on something that's very flammable, typically dark in color. So if you had some dead dry plant fiber that was nice and dry and preferably dark colored, you can polish the concave end of the can, whether it's a soda can or beer can, and you can get the angle of the sun just right if you're very lucky and very patient. And it'll actually create a little cone of light with one pinpoint spot of high heat. And if you can get that little spot to stay still on your tinder, and if you get all the angles just right, now I'm telling you here, this is a lot of ifs, and I warn everybody, your results may vary, but if you've got plenty of time and maybe you've had a few beers, so you have a couple of cans to work with, and maybe those beers have made you a little more patient, then you might just be able to get this puppy to work, especially down in your neck of the woods.
Uh-huh.
You know, the drier air gives you better quality of sunlight for optical fire building. There's just less water in the air to block the light. So yeah, you get the can lined up just right and bounce the light into that tinder. And if you said your prayers and ate your Wheaties, that sucker might just start to smoke. Once it starts to smoke, you can blow on that little burning spot in the tinder, and hopefully that spark will continue to grow and you'll get your flame.
Pretty cool. Well, hey, Tim, another of your 14 beer can survival tips is using the beer can as a projectile point. And I don't know, maybe you could fashion a fishing spear or something of that nature out of it.
Yeah, for very thin-skinned things. If you're using the can, if you're using the actual aluminum wall of the can, and cutting it and then folding it to make cone-shaped pieces or triangular pieces, these are going to be possible projectile points for very soft-skinned animals. So think about stuff like a rabbit. They have very tender skin and you know, very small, thin-skinned, smooth-skinned fish, things like that. You have a better chance of punching a sharp instrument into some prospective food creature than, you know, hitting them with something dull.
Right.
Just one more trick to have up your sleeve.
Okay. And another beer can survival tip is to actually take that can and use it as a reflective signal.
Yeah, yeah. One of the unsung heroes of wilderness survival is the whole art form of signaling. If you aren't signaling for help, you're not going to get rescued. Signaling for help is kind of your golden ticket to get home. So what I encourage people to do is have several different methods of signaling for help, things that might be audible that people could hear, like a whistle, and that's going to work day or night. Or you might have some reflective stuff, like a signal mirror, or you could rip open the beer can and use that reflective interior to flash some sunlight against a distant target. You know, maybe there's a boat out there, maybe there's a vehicle off in the desert, maybe there's, you know, some aircraft that
right.
you can bounce the light towards and let people know that you're there.
And then my favorite beer can survival tip is just go ahead and drink that beer.
Yeah, it's a food and a beverage, Cable. You know, our ancestors weren't crazy when they came up with the brewski. You see a lot of early beer production in Europe, and a lot of times this is both a way to save people from getting different kinds of illness from drinking bad water, and it's also a way to save calories that might otherwise be eaten up by pests. So if we can imagine, you know, back in the day, our ancestors, they didn't have fancy ways to process food or package it or save it. And no creature in their right mind is going to consume a barrel of beer. You know, the bugs aren't going to get it. The rats aren't going to get it. It's going to kill them. But human beings are just crazy enough or just lucky enough to be able to drink that stuff. And it keeps for a very long time. And the calories stay good. So you could have a bag of grain sitting there, and the bugs or the rats are going to eat it, or you could brew that barrel of grain into a barrel of beer, and then it's going to keep indefinitely.
Right.
But yeah, yeah. Keeping yourself hydrated, keeping yourself fed, and feeling no pain after having a little bit of that. You know, there's a guy just about one year ago to this day, there was a gentleman up in Alaska, and he got stuck in the snow, and he survived off of 2 cans of frozen beer. And he had to cut them open with his knife and dig them out and eat them as almost like a frozen slushy. But that's what he relied on for some calories and also for hydration.
Wow.
He was stuck in that truck, and he got rescued 60 hours after that truck hit that snowbank. Somebody found him and dug him out. But that rascal had lost 16 pounds of body weight in 60 hours from Whoa. Sitting there shivering.
Jeez.
So there's your million-dollar idea, Cable. There's a weight loss plan for us. freeze and shiver and drink beer.
Right. Well, hey, Tim, real quick, I know that you also teach survival classes. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I actually teach classes in wilderness survival when I'm not writing for Outdoor Life magazine, and those go on up here in Virginia. So I've got a business that I've been running for quite a while now, and it's called Advanced Survival Training. So if anybody wanted to take a trip up here to the Mid-Atlantic, and if they wanted to do a little bit of hands-on survival training, then I'd be happy to help everybody out. So they can go to AdvancedSurvivalTraining.com and check out the classes and the schedule.
Well, very well, Tim. And if anybody wants to find out more about your beer can survival tips, I think we only hit on 6 or 7 of the 14. They can do so at OutdoorLife.com/beer can survival.
Yes, sir. And they can find out even more if they go to OutdoorLife.com and click on survival. They can read my blogs and my photo galleries and check out all my different articles.
Awesome. Well, Tim, we certainly appreciate your time this morning and look forward to reading your next article.
Thank you, Cable. It's been a pleasure, and I hope all of your listeners out there stay safe.
So there he goes, Outdoor Life's Tim McWelch. Great stuff there. Let's knock out a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the ever-growing sport of predator hunting with world champion distress caller Seth Skinner of Waco, Texas, only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show. Smithco Ranch is a small high-fenced hunting facility catering to the discriminating white-tailed deer hunter. Located in Eastland County, just 80 miles west of Fort Worth, the ranch has a Level 3 managed lands deer permit and offers bow or rifle hunting from October through February. The Smithco Ranch has packages for guided trophy and management hunts and discounts for parent-child combo hunts. All hunts include lodging, gourmet meals, beverages, and care of your game. It's an excellent option to leasing. Google the Smithco Ranch, that's spelled Smith K-O Ranch, or call owner Brad Smith at 817-480-8089 today. BioBore EB is the premier gasoline additive that combats the negative effects ethanol has on an engine. Its comprehensive formula is designed to protect marine engines and marine environments, yet also works great in all 2- and 4-stroke engines. It prevents phase separation and ethanol-related engine problems while stabilizing fuel for 18 months. BioBore's detergents also clean the entire fuel system of carbon and varnishes. BioBore EB has the best treat rate in the industry. 1 ounce treats an amazing 15 gallons of gas. Available at your local sporting goods store or visit BioBore.com today.
Cinnamon Creek Ranch is not your typical archery club. It's a one-of-a-kind archery facility with indoor and outdoor ranges, a full pro shop, and 6 different 3D courses. Cinnamon Creek was designed by hunters for hunters, located on 80 acres in Roanoke, Texas, and offering over 200 3D targets to shoot at. This one-of-a-kind event facility was designed with the bow hunter in mind. Call 817-439-8998 or visit us at CinnamonCreekRanch.com. That's CinnamonCreekRanch.com.
Howdy folks, I'm Lee Hoffbauer for Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Gulfway, Texas. We hope you love listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show, because we do, and we're proud to be a title sponsor. Now listen up, we here at Hoffbauer Outdoor Superstore have got some great deals for you folks that love the great outdoors. Whether you're needing a brand new Polaris ATV or maybe a Polaris Ranger to ride around, check your deer feeders, get to and from the deer blind, maybe to get you down to the dove patch, whatever your needs are, we can fix you up with a brand new Polaris today. Now we're also a New Holland tractor and equipment dealer. Now I'm just speculating, but maybe you need a new tractor and shredder to shred around your deer blinds, maybe clean up around deer camp, or maybe even shred a few lanes in those sunflower patch. Now, we've got lots more than just Polaris and New Holland, so come check us out today, Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Gulfway, Texas. You can check us out on the web at hpolaris.com. Better yet, just come see us. Highway 84 West in Gulfway, Texas, and in Central Texas for over 48 years now. And folks, we couldn't have stuck around this long. We were steering you wrong.
Ed Hansen's Outdoor Adventures is East Texas' premier waterfowl guide service. Hunters enjoy great shoots on Lake Fork, Tewakinee, Cooper, and private areas, including flooded timber and private tanks throughout Northeast Texas. You'll also see amazing retriever work and a guide in Ed whose passion is putting you on birds. Also specializing in taxidermy and now offering guided deer, elk, and hog hunts on a 1,000-acre high-fence ranch in Wood County. And don't forget about spring snow geese as well. Call Ed at 903-521-4595. Or visit HansonOutdoors.net to book your hunt today.
Hey, folks, this is Zane Williams here to thank you for listening to my buddy Cable Smith on the Lone Star Outdoors Show, and also want to wish each and every one of you a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and happy hunting, y'all.
I guess we've been running low on Christmas cheer, but all that is changing this year.
All right, great stuff there from our good buddy Zane Williams, bringing us back on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show, powered by Hoffpower Polaris and Chevy Silverado. I'm Cable Smith. Thanks for sharing a part of your holiday season with me. And remember, this Christmas, give the waterfowler the gift he really wants from G&H Decoys. The new Honker Revolution and Mallard Waddler are exactly what every waterfowler needs to add lifelike motion to their spread like never before. Visit ghdecoys.com to place your order today. Well, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into something that I have only recently really gotten into. But man, oh man, I am eaten up with it. Predator hunting is about as an exciting sport as I have found. But I do admit I am far from having perfected the art of putting fur on the ground. So our next guest is an authority on the subject. He's the 2008 World Distress Calling Champion. It's my pleasure to welcome Waco's Seth Skinner back to the show.
Appreciate you having me, Cable. How's it been?
Oh, I can't complain, man. It's been a great hunting season so far. A couple nice bucks on the ground. I've had a bunch of great duck hunts. And as you know, over the past 6 months or so, I've been eaten up with predator hunting. And since you're our resident expert, I figured we'd talk some coyotes this morning.
Well, it's addicting, I can promise you that.
Yes, it is. And I tell you what, I had my best weekend ever in King County this past weekend. I called in 5 coyotes on, I think, 8 stands total over the course of 2 or 3 days. And while I was getting the coyotes within killing range, I just couldn't put it all together. Only ended up killing 2 of them and only found 1 of them. So to start with, what is your favorite caliber for coyotes?
I get asked that a lot, man, and it all boils down to what kind of predator you're going after. You know, here in Texas, we have so many different types of predators. You have, you know, red fox, gray fox, coyotes, bobcat, coons, you name it. And so I kind of just use the caliber that kind of works with the animals I'm going after. For coyotes, I really love to shoot 243 caliber. And I don't shoot, you know, big 100-grain core locks or anything at them. I like to I do a lot of reloading myself, but even for the guy that's just going to go down the store and buy factory bullets, the Hornady makes a 58-grain VMAX for a 243, and that bullet's does an awesome job. It's really flat shooting. I think it's going close to 3,900 feet per second out of a 24-inch barrel. So it's actually got the same velocities as a 22-250 does, but it's shooting a 58-grain 243 bullet versus a 22-caliber 55-grain bullet. So,
right.
And just has the extra weight whenever it hits something to kind of knock them down and keep them from running off. Plus, it bucks the wind if you got to make a 300-yard shot. You know, I don't make those very often because the goal is to call them in close. But if something does hang up out there and you got a good shot at it, you definitely want to use a bullet. The wind's not going to drift real bad.
Right, right. And I was telling you that I shoot a Howa Axiom Varmintr 22-250, awesome rifle. But I have a Howa 243 also, and I've never used that for coyotes. But after this weekend, I called in one. He came out to my right, and I was under a mesquite tree. He was only about 35 yards away. I broke my cardinal rule, Seth. I didn't have my shotgun. I only had the rifle, and I put a round into him. But it was so hot, you know, at that close range that it went right through him, hardly had any blood trail. He ran into the cedars, and I never found him.
What bullets are you using for your 22-250?
Out of that gun, I'm shooting Remington Core-Lock.
Is that Core-Lock? Yeah. I'm always just like a ballistic tip-type bullet for predators. It seems, you know, normally most predators are thin-skinned, so they seem to kind of to blow up a little bit better on them. And normally, you know, I've got a lot of experience with 22-252. I shot quite a bit of them and owned 3 or 4 of them in my lifetime. That's what my dad actually grew up shooting for a long time too. And my partner TJ shoots a 22-250 most of the time. And the all our bobcats that we've killed, a lot of people think that a 22-250 is not really that fur friendly, but if you get a full frontal shot where you can shoot them in the chest, we've got numerous bobcats on our DVD coming out that you'll see that they're not blowed up at all. You go over there and pick them up, there's no fur damage whatsoever, and he's just shooting, you know, a 55 grain VMAX bullet out of them. But then again, if the animal is broadside and you clip any kind of bone or anything like that, it's sometimes going to fragment, you know, and blow the fur up kind of bad. And I always say, people always ask me, well, why are you worried about the fur? Well, actually, fur prices used to be great, you know, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, even in the 70s. Mm-hmm. But the prices just died down over the last few years. But they're actually not as bad as people think. An average bobcat, if you get one that's 25 pounds to 27 pounds and has a lot of good winter fur on him with spots, He'll bring on average, you know, from the fur buyer, $100-$130, and wow. Your gray foxes are $10 to $12. So it's kind of worth making sure you shoot a bullet that's going to be fur friendly.
Okay, well, I'm definitely going to start shooting coyotes with that 243 then, because the 22-250 just didn't do enough damage internally. That last coyote, he didn't start leaking enough blood to find a good blood trail before he made it back into the cedars.
Yeah, that can happen, you know. It doesn't happen as often. That's another reason why I use the 243. It just seems like if you hit them anywhere with that thing, normally they're going to fall over just from the initial shock of a bullet impact, you know, on them. But, I mean, I think your situation was one of those rare occurrences that the bullet just didn't hit anything on the inside of the coyote and kind of just passed straight through him. I'm sure he's dead over there somewhere, yeah. But it was just one of them situations. But you're right. I mean, it goes back to just what you said earlier. We're firm believers. I know it's a lot of trouble to carry two guns on a stand because you got a collar and a chair or whatever you're carrying most of the time, and your hands are full walking to your stand depending on how far you got to go. But we're the same way. Our cardinal rule is always carry a shotgun and always carry a rifle, because the goal is to call them in close, and that's what we normally do. And you can switch over to your shotgun, and it normally takes care of shots like the one you had the other day.
All right. So preferably a .243 caliber for coyotes, and then the .22-250, obviously, for bobcats and foxes. Now, let's talk about some other tips here. When you're getting ready to make a stand, do you purposely put the e-collar out in a position to where you think the coyote will come in from a direction where he's not looking right at you?
Well, the great thing about, you know, back in the day before e-collars came out, all he had was hand calls. So the sound was coming straight from the guy where he was sitting. And once the coyote showed up, if you were still blowing the collar, then they would pinpoint you real quick. Mm-hmm. The great thing about e-collars, especially for us, you know, with filming and stuff, we'll normally have a camera guy with a tripod and a camera sitting next to the rifle guy, and the shotgun guy's kind of out in front of us, and you definitely don't want any sound coming towards the camera guy or coming from him, because he's got to move and get on camera, and he's doing a lot of movement that he has to do. But just for an average guy out there calling, yeah, the e-collars are great, because you can get that sound away from you, and it allows you to kind of get away with a little bit more movement than you normally would with a hand call. And where we like to put them is, a lot of folks, you know, when they first start calling, they'll take the collar and stick it out there 100 yards away from them. That's way too far. We normally never put the collar past 50 yards, sometimes even closer to that. And you want to make sure you kind of position the collar towards your downwind side, because that's normally about over 50% chance of where the coyote is going to circle downwind. And it just kind of helps you get a little bit better point of view on them.
All right. Well, Seth, let's talk about some of the different sounds that come on most electronic collars. My Burnham Brothers CompuCollar 3 has a variety of rabbits. My favorites have been, you know, cottontails and jackrabbit sounds, in addition to the lip squeak, which I called in two coyotes this past weekend with that lip squeak sound. What about coyote howls, though? Do those actually work to bring coyotes within shooting range?
That's funny that you asked that. This is another thing that always goes back to, I mean, it seems like we're targeting coyotes, so I'll kind of leave the fox and the cat stuff out of it, and if we want to go into that later on, we can. But for coyotes, you know, it depends on the seasons. It really does. Whenever you get into your January, February, and March months, coyotes are wanting to breed. So they still got to eat, but they kind of, half their mind gets off of gathering a rabbit or something to eat, like they do the rest of the point of the year. It goes into finding a pair and breeding up and that kind of stuff. And so that's when your vocalization sounds are going to work. And you got to be real careful whenever you're doing coyote vocals, because a lot of guys, if you can play the wrong sounds, not being educated on what you're doing, and scare stuff off more than help you call them in. We normally, In the January, February months, we'll go into our stand, we'll get in there quiet, and we'll set up. And before we ever turn on the e-collar or anything blowing any kind of distress sound, we might do just one lonesome howl. You could do it with your hand call, or you could do it on the e-collar. It's just called a lone howl.
Mm-hmm.
And what that basically does, it just tells all the coyotes that are within hearing distance, hey, I'm another coyote over here, and I'm kind of just trying to check out and see where you guys are at. You know, you're just a lonesome coyote over there. It's not a threat. It's not challenging them or anything like that. It's basically just an invitation is all it is. And normally the other coyotes will howl back at you, and then you kind of, they give away their area. You, at least you know you got something over there to work with, you know. And from that point on, you might just maybe throw another lone howl at them a little bit and put a bark in there here and there, nothing aggressive sounding, just kind of just communicating with them. And then this is the biggest key, man, when it comes to vocals. Just be quiet. Sit there for I mean, this is the most harsh part about calling stuff up with Hal's is you have to be patient, a lot more patient than you are whenever you just go out there and play a distress sound. Nothing shows up in 20 minutes. You get up and leave because the coyotes seem to come in. Some of them will come in super fast, but a majority of them will come in a little bit slower. And so you might sit there 5-6 minutes and not make any noise. And then if nothing shows up from that point on, then go ahead and turn on your rabbit sound or nutty nut hatch or some kind of sound. This is a real good key tip for you too. If it's late season, if it's January past, you've probably already hit some of those spots in your October, November, December months and tried to call some predators off that particular piece of property. And you went in there and you've hammered them with the baby cottontails and the lightning jacks and all the different distress sounds that come in there. Well, it helps to switch your sounds up and play something you hadn't played there before. You know, don't always go back to the same spot just because Lightning Jack worked the last time. Sit down in the same spot, set the collar in the same spot, and play Lightning Jack all over again because you were successful with it once. You kind of want to change your position up where you sit in the field or in the brush, however you do it, and position your collar in a different area and play a different sound. It kind of, anything you might have educated or missed there, if a double came in, you got one and the other one got away, it just kind of helps them forget about that scenario that happened last time, and they'll come in a lot easier because you're changing it up on them, you know?
Okay, and what are some of your other favorite sounds that you go to when you switch it up from those, you know, popular rabbit-sounding distress calls?
Exactly. The fawning distress stuff works really good in the springtime. If you're hunting around a bunch of cows that are calving, you can always use the calf balls and stuff like that there. If you're hunting around chicken houses, use your chicken noises. You know, don't be afraid to use them. Like I said, I went over the lone howl, and then you might switch over if you played. Okay, you did lone howl. You waited, nothing showed up. You played a little bit of distress sound, still nothing showed up. I like to end all my stands with some sort of pupping distress. Play it for a few minutes and then pause it. You know, a pup's not going to sit there and act like he's getting beat up for 5 minutes straight like you would your rabbit or whatever. So you kind of want to pause it and kind of make it seem more realistic. Like he got bit and they got in a fight a few times and then the male dog left him alone for a little while, you know, and then he might have done something to aggravate him again. He went back over there and they got to fighting again. You know, you kind of got to build a scenario up of what they would actually do in the wild. And pupping distress will get them coming fast and furious, man. They will come running in there because normally you're going to have your alpha male or your alpha female, and she's just going to want to come in there and kick whatever's beating up on them pups' butts. So that's normally where the pup in distress works wonders. And you can do it with hand calls, too. You don't have to have it with an e-collar.
Hey, Seth, great stuff. I'm really enjoying the conversation, but we do have to knock out a quick commercial break. But there's a lot more I want to ask you, so can you stick around for another segment?
Oh, sure, man. I'd be more than willing to.
Perfect. Well, we'll be right back with more Predator Hunting Insight from 2008 World Distress Calling Champion Seth Skinner, only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show. Listen up, folks. The owner of Texas Custom Camo and Imaging is retiring, and the business is for sale. The imaging company comes with a large dipping tank, layout film cutting table, spray guns, primer, sealers, and the website and logo. Also enough film to bring in $15,000 worth of revenue. Enjoy a profit margin of over 150% on most dipping jobs. Total cost to own your own outdoor business, $22,000. Call Ray at 817-233-0522 or email him at ray@customcamoimaging.com. to inquire about this amazing opportunity. Chevy Silverado has been recognized by Vincentric for lowest total cost of ownership of any full-sized pickup. Based on factors like depreciation, fuel, and maintenance, visit your local Chevy dealer to find out why the Silverado is a smart choice. Based on Vincentric US 2012 model level analysis.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is DFW's number one source for trailers. In addition to utility trailers, we have the largest selection of cargos anywhere. CM Cargos, Wells Cargos, Hallmark, Cargo Craft, and Pace. You want it, we got it. Come and get it. Call 972-501-0200 or go to BigTexDFW.com. That's Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn.
Cable Smith here for Magnolite, a Texas-based lighting company that's been outfitting the United States military since the 1960s. Over the past decade, Magnolite has continued to support our troops, but now they have over 200 lights ideal for your hunting and fishing needs, like the 35-watt HID camouflage Go Light Striker with handheld remote. That's 15 million candle power in the palm of your hand, ideal for predator and hog hunting. They also have remote-controlled floodlights, feeder lights, and LED boat lights. So go Texan and go Magnolite. Check them out at www.magnolite.com for all your outdoor lighting needs. If you're in the market for a firearm, you need to know about STI International. Based out of Georgetown, Texas, they're 100% employee-owned and offer the best warranty and customer service in the business. STI is renowned worldwide for exceptional fit and function. The patented 2011 high-capacity system proved so successful in shooting competitions that over 80% of competitors used STI guns or pistols built on STI frames at the USPSA National Championships. To see their full line of premier pistols, visit STIguns.com or check them out on Facebook at STI Firearms. STI, the continuing evolution of the 1911.
Hi, I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
So here's another sad song. I'm gonna spin them all day long. I may lose this job, but I've already lost everything. Melanie, if you're tuning right now, it's not too late to turn around. We can work this out. I swear we can work it out.
Good morning, Houston's the name of that one from Daryl Dodd, bringing us back on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris and Chevy Silverado. I'm Cable Smith, thanking everybody for tuning in. This segment is brought to you by STI Handguns, Texas made and Texas proud. Check out their full lineup of styles and calibers by visiting STIguns.com and go Texan, go STI. Let's go ahead and pick it back up with our predator calling authority as we're talking coyotes this morning with 2008 World Distress Calling Champion Seth Skinner of Waco, Texas. Seth, let's go into a typical daytime stand as far as how long do you typically run the call before switching sounds, and do you leave a pause in there, or do you, bam, go from one sound to the next? And also, how long will you give each particular stand?
That one's pretty easy. I mean, and all this is, you know, it's optional. This is just how we use it. We're not saying this is the best way to use it, but we've been real successful for a long time doing it the way that we're doing it. So I know it works. Normally, if a coyote's in the area and you've done your homework and you found tracks and scat and you know he's there, he's going to normally show up within the first 7 minutes, I would say.
Uh-huh.
So I would go in there and I'd set my collar up 50 yards from me or closer, you know, get the downwind side and all that good stuff. Some of my favorite sounds, baby cottontail is a great sound for me that I like to use. Real busy sounds seem to work good sometimes. Like, you know, you have your yellowhammer woodpecker, you have your wailing woodpecker, you have your eastern cottontail has been a good one for us this year. Snowshoe hare works really good. And we don't have a snowshoe within 100 miles in Texas, probably further than that.
Right. Well, hey, Seth, so you get there, you turn the call on. How long do you run with that first sound? 5 minutes, maybe only 2 minutes? Walk us through that.
I mix it up a lot. You know, a lot of guys, they'll like to play that one sound for 5 or 10 minutes, just constant, just going and going and going. And if nothing comes in, they might stop and change it or something. They may play three sounds the whole entire set, and then they get up and leave. Me, I'm normally hunting in country that's got bobcats and coyotes in it, and we never know really which one's going to show up. We kind of set up to to which one we want, but sometimes cats come in on the coyote stand and coyotes come in on the cat stand. So what I tend to do is I run through my sounds pretty quick. I might play Baby Cottontail for 2.5-3 minutes, and then if nothing showed up, I'm switching to Wailing Woodpecker for a few minutes. The reason why I do that, especially in cat country, is because cats get bored really fast. They don't have a long attention span.
Mm-hmm.
And so they might have heard something they liked, and they were coming to it, and then they'll get out there and they'll sit down. You know, I've had it happen 100 times. They sit down and they just want to look around, and they act like they got nothing better else to do that day. And the only way you're really going to get them to get up and keep coming is to switch sounds and play something real busy that they like, kind of birdie sounds. And that normally get them to get up off their bums and close the distance and come another 100 yards so you can get a good shot at them.
Okay, so just to reiterate, when you switch sounds on the electronic call, you don't take a break. It's boom, right on to the next sound.
Yeah, normally, you know, with e-callers, I do that. That's kind of... it's controversial. Some guys will say that you should put pauses in between your e-caller sounds. If I'm hand calling, I do that. You know, if I'm hand calling, I'll blow a series and then I'll stop. I might blow a series for 45 seconds and then I'll stop and kind of scan for about a minute and a half, and then I'm back on my calls. And so it's got pauses between it. But when I'm running an e-caller, I'm just going from sound to sound to sound and having that sound come constantly. What you'll find when you do that is the animals seem to come faster. You're not sitting on stand long, on long periods of time waiting on something to come, because as long as that sound's playing, they're coming to it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pause it, that's whenever they're going to sit down or they're going to kind of not get as interested in it. So I always feel like if I got something out there they can hear, it's going to help them come fast. But you're going to have a lot more hard-charging coyotes that are going to run in, and that's kind of a... it's a good thing. It's a bad thing. It's a good thing because they're coming fast, and you're going to get them on stand quicker. But sometimes they're hard to stop. You know, you'll get them out there, and you can pause the sound. It don't even bother them. They're just, you know, they're trucking it to the caller, and it doesn't really give you a really good rifle shot when they're running real fast. That's why you want to have your shotgun with you. But don't be afraid. You'll see it on TV and DVDs and the whole nine yards to just holler at them. You know, we just wolf at them. Just hey. Just do something like that. And this is when they're inside of, you know, 60 yards and they're running full blast and you want them to slow down. That will get them to just stop in their tracks long enough for you to get on them with the crosshairs and get your shot off.
All right. Well, hey, real quick, we're running out of time here. A couple other things we need to hit on. Y'all have got some exciting news on the television front.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. We're really excited about it. You know, we've been blessed to have the opportunity to film with the Predator Instinct guys, which is Todd Woodall and Cal Ferguson and Clint Ferguson. And they used to be with the TV show Predator Pursuit. And now we've kind of ventured off and have our own show going on this season on the Sportsman's Channel. And it's going to air, I guess it's the late part of December, or first part of January on Sportsman's Channel. And it's going to be a lot of fun, man. All the footage that we filmed so far has just been, It's been down to earth. It's educating. It's really, really good stuff. I mean, we've got bobcats coming up to 9 feet from us in the middle of the night and getting shot. And we have a lot of fun doing it. You know, all the guys get along good, and we're cutting up. We're making fun of each other. We get our families involved. We get our wives involved.
Awesome. So that's coming up on Sportsman's Channel this December. One other thing to mention here, the World Predator Calling Championships is coming to Texas, and it'll be right there in Waco, I believe, this April.
That's right, man. I mean, this has been another thing I'm really excited about. This is they had it in Kansas in 2008, and then Ohio in 2010, and then Perry, Georgia in 2011, and we finally got them talked into having it in the South. So everybody come show up to Waco, Texas it's going to be April the 19th through the 21st. And so if you're turkey hunting, you're just going to have to take a couple days off and come to this thing because it's going to be a blast. And come out and support your predator hunters. There's going to be all kinds of exhibits there. Everybody who's anybody in the predator hunt industry usually shows up. You have the Fox Pro guys, the Burnham Brothers, Wildlife Technologies, all the helicopter hunting guys. We'll be there. We'll have a booth and number 212 and 214, selling the predator hunting DVDs. Our new DVD is called Illuminate the Addiction. It's just now hitting the shelves probably in about 2 weeks. And then TJ's always there selling his TS Predator call. So, I mean, there'll be tons of people there. Pickman's supposed to be there doing some stuff. They'll have seminars. They're also going to have the World Predator Calling Championship for 2012, which is the state's calling competition. It's not actual hunting competition, but as we get on stage and we try and mimic the best distress sounds we can, the best vocalization sounds we can, and they'll have a panel of judges there that can't see the people on the stage competing, and they basically judge you off of your performance and how good you can blow hand calls. And they'll have a professional division there, and then they'll have a hunter's division. So if you don't want to compete against, you know, Al Morris and Jason Grossclose or me or any of the guys that are John Paul Moody, any of the guys that have won, then you get a chance to get an entry fee in the hunter's division and show them what you got, and you don't have to compete against us guys that are trying to do it for the professional side of things. But it's awesome. It's going to be a really good venue, and we're really hoping for a good turnout and all these people from Texas to get on board and get behind this thing, because it's also the Wild Hog Extravaganza too. So all you hog hunters out there, you'll have they're having, I think, the best pig rig competition. So you can bring your dog boxes, the whole nine yards. They're having the ugliest taxidermy competition and the best taxidermy mount. So you can, if you got one of them ugly boxes that somebody mounted it 40 years ago and eyeballs are falling out or something crazy like that on it, you can actually enter that thing and get ugliest taxidermy award. So there's a lot of fun stuff going on with it.
Perfect. That's the World Predator Calling Championships going on April 19th through the 21st at the Waco Convention Center. We're thrilled to have that coming to the Lone Star State. Seth, real quick, if folks want to find y'all, I know you're on Facebook.
You just go on Facebook to Take 'Em Out Predator Productions, and you'll find us. We're always putting stories and hunting pictures and that kind of stuff up there, but if you want to order the DVD or get any of TJ's production calls, he just got a brand new line of four different production calls out. You can go to tspredatorcalls.com, and we have a website set up there that plays a trailer clip for our DVD, and you can pay through PayPal and that kind of stuff on there.
Awesome. Well, hey, Seth, always a pleasure, buddy, and we look forward to talking to you again sometime soon.
No problem, Kay. Well, I always feel like I talk like a roadrunner when I get on these radio shows, but I have a good time, and I just try and get as much information as I can to you guys. And I'm proud that predator hunting is growing at the fast rate that it is. Get your wives and kids out there, man. I mean, you're not going to do anything but help other wildlife. You're helping your fawn crop. You're helping your quail, your ducks, your whole nine yards by taking out those predators. And it's a lot of fun, too, and I'm glad to see it growing the way it is. And I appreciate you taking your time out to have me on the show.
You bet, brother. My pleasure. Take care.
Sounds good, bud.
So there he goes, our good friend Seth Skinner of Take 'Em Out Predator Productions, the 2008 World Champion Distress Caller. That is going to do it for today. Be sure to tune in same time, same place. Next week, we're going to talk big bass. Also, a new book that's out, Eating Aliens. It's about harvesting those invasive species that threaten our native wildlife. So that'll be a great interview with Jackson Landers. He's the author of that book. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show this holiday season. Until next time, I'm Cable Smith saying, y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright. The sun will shine by day and all the stars at night. Melukalikimaka is a wise way to say Merry
Everybody, this is Brian Spagnuolo from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnuolo. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
Cable Smith here with my good buddy Craig Smith, owner and founder of Game Guard. And Craig, I guess the question everybody wants to know is, what inspired you to create that signature Game Guard camouflage pattern?
I had a friend of mine that challenged me to
come up with a better pattern. I didn't like the patterns that fit, you know, Southwest Texas. So he said, you know, if you don't like it, do something about it. And that's really kind of where it started. I really wanted to get the colors correct because to me it's all about, you know, blending in and having the right tones at that time of the year. And so I just sat down and started drawing this pattern out, and it took me about a year to get it the way I wanted it and get the colors the way I wanted it. And, you know, the rest is kind of history, as they say.
Hey, Craig, we appreciate it. Made by the Texas Deer Hunter for the Texas Deer Hunter. Be sure to check out their full line of outdoor apparel at GameGuard.net. We all need a friend in the gun business, and that's why you should check out B&S Guns. Family owned and operated since 1987, we offer a lifetime warranty on all firearm purchases. At B&S, we have a gunsmith on staff at all times, and our 5,000 square foot building contains all your hunting and firearm needs. Open 7 days a week, we specialize in Nikon, Leopold, Browning, Remington, Swarovski, Benelli, Zeiss, and many more. Conveniently located in Garland, call 972-226-1816 or visit bsgunstore.com. That's bsgunstore.com. All right, listen up, all you Texas outdoorsmen and women. SDS Outdoors is a top-tier manufacturer and distributor of high-quality, feature-rich, luxury outdoor products. Their product lines include luxury deer blinds, deer blind windows, gun range towers, bow fishing boats, and a whole lot more. Call SDS Outdoors at 214-551-1530 or check them out online at www.sdsoutdoors.com. Chevy Silverado has been recognized by Vincentric for lowest total cost of ownership of any full-sized pickup. Based on factors like depreciation, fuel, and maintenance, visit your local Chevy dealer to find out why the Silverado is a smart choice. Based on Vincentric US 2012 model level analysis.